strap yourselves in, hold yourselves tight. Tom Parry's tired. Matt Boyle is ill. This is going to be a roller coaster of a podcast. It's Tom and Matt Attack.
Da 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 da.
Yeah.
Have
you done that? Oh, yeah.
I did.
Oh, sorry.
I did. It's recording,
practicing,
Tom.
Practicing there.
So, as you can tell from that intro and Tom's reluctance to admit that we have started this podcast, we have. Hello, Tom Parry.
Da 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 da. We were just humming the Halo thing. What were we trying to remind ourselves?
Yeah, because
what
the
Halo sounded like.
The ambient chanting of. could it quite easily be Zelda or Game of Thrones, we quite found as we kept slipping into either of those.
I think it was a little bit influenced by what we were just playing there. We're playing No Man's Sky.
No Man's Ski!
Now, and it has. Quite a minimalist soundtrack, at least.
Yes. Procedurally generated, in fact. So, like the universe itself, it's all like, hey, cool, we're going to put all these bits in a computer and then press go, and then when it happens, it happens.
And it changes depending on the situation, it would seem.
Yes.
Yeah. No Man's Sky, yes, it's the big new release this last week. Everyone's been talking about it for ages.
Yes.
And ages, and it's finally out, and... From what I've gathered, it's been rather well received.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty damned good game, to be honest with you. The scope of it and what it has actually managed to achieve in terms of this crazy, giant, procedurally generated universe that'll take like 257 billion years, to actually explore and to get everything out of it is a bit nuts.
What's that term you use?
Procedurally generated. Essentially, they there will be a lot of coughing in this podcast. I do apologise. I'll try and edit around it.
Say it again.
Procedurally generated.
Procedurally generated.
Say it
word
three times fast.
Phrase of the day.
Yeah, essentially it means that they put a lot of data into a massive, massive spreadsheet, essentially, and went, hey, cool, when we press go, this will generate all of this stuff for us. And lo and behold... They did that. They made a universe.
They made a universe. That's a bold claim, isn't it?
Crazy, crazy scale.
Yeah.
And I've been exploring it for the past couple of days because, as I've already mentioned, and as you will probably be able to tell from the dumbing down of my subtle Welsh tones, my lilt is rather flat.
Nice.
I've had man flu for the last couple of days, and so it's been quite nice to return home after work.
No man's flu.
No
There's
man's
flu. There's a podcast
there we
title.
Wow, we're 2 minutes in. We can already wrap this up. No, and I've been sat down and playing No Man's Sky, and it's been a very enjoyable experience. Kind of throws you in a bit of the deep end. It's a bit Minecraftian in that respect of, hey, here's some stuff. You can either do this, or you can just go and do whatever you want.
And so, if you do want to fall asleep, just watch someone playing it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the thing is, Tom, I didn't want to give you the controller because I've been coughing and sneezing all over it for the last 3 days.
No, I was interested until it lulled me. It's music, I think, lulled me into a nice relaxed state.
Fair enough. Yeah. But yeah, it is a space exploration game for those of you who haven't been keeping up with the events of No Man's Sky, because, I mean, we've talked about it on this very podcast that there was a lot of mystery surrounding No Man's Sky, a lot of, hey, what will you be able to do in this?
Yeah.
Creating a universe,
no one
what are you going to do?
Quite knew exactly how it was going to pan out.
No, and surprise, surprise, it is a survival game in space. You fly a spaceship, you mine things, you
discover things,
resource management. Mm. Things like it's generally going around and exploring.
Well, you can shoot with your space battles, you can shoot other ships.
You can.
Sorry.
You can shoot other ships, you can shoot dinosaurs, which is what I just did the first time in my. God, I wouldn't even like to put an hour on it. I've at least played 10 hours, probably a lot more than that, of No Man's Sky already since it came out on Wednesday. And yeah, like I've not run into the same creature twice. I've shown Tom these weird things that kind of looked like. a cross between a deer, a dinosaur, and a kangaroo.
There's a lot of crossbreeding going on there in space.
But, I mean, that makes sense because, I mean, they've procedurally generated these things and gone like, hey, cool, well, this head can go with these legs, and then they've mashed together. So, I mean, some crazy things, like I just saw a dinosaur with a massive platypus beak.
Yeah, yeah, and there was that one that was like a T-Rex with rhino's horns.
Yes, there was. And then, as I said, we saw this weird kangaroo deer that was quite
comical,
fat and didn't really walk properly.
Waddling.
Yeah, it was almost like the thing's legs were too far back, and so it kind of looked like it was trying to not fall face forward.
This great game's great because it's a fantastic talking point because not everyone's having the same experience, so they want to talk about it. They want to talk about what they've discovered and then find that maybe their friends have discovered something totally different.
Yeah, I saw like a giant blue... I don't even know how to describe it. It kind of looked like the face of the aliens from Avatar on this giant blue deer thing running around in the desert yesterday, which is quite interesting.
Well, yeah,
but
what were
huge.
They called, the aliens from Avatar? The blue people?
The...
Doesn't
Nabi,
matter.
Nasi or something
Navi.
Like that. Is it Navi? No, that's the little fairy from...
could be the Navi.
Maybe it is, yeah. All I really
it's
remember
not the most
that,
original film.
All I remember that movie is Unobtainium. Much like Unobtainium, I'm mining for things in No Man's Sky. You're collecting a load of resources, you put those things together in a Minecraft-like fashion, and lo and behold, you will have new and interesting things, be they ship upgrades, be they upgrades for your person.
It's a game that's appealing to, I guess, the modern Minecraft-like fan, but also the people who enjoy classic sci-fi.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, there is... The survival genre is existing. I mean, there's DayZ, there's Rust, there's a lot of these games that have been on Steam or Green and Light for a long, long time.
But this one's doing it in style.
It is, yeah. It's a very pretty looking game that cannot be denied.
And it's got that retro sci-fi look. It's nice and colourful.
Yes.
As we were talking about earlier, the special edition is a book. It's kind of selling itself as sort of like a virtual sci-fi novel in a way, especially in the way the characters talk to you.
Yes.
Because they're the ones you encountered, at least, weren't talking English.
No, they weren't.
And that was described to you like a passage in a book, what they were saying to you.
It was. However, their alien language, some words, you will have noticed, Tom Parry, were in red, and they were translated. Yeah. Because when you're walking around and you're finding all these resources, you can find these statues that give you a word of this alien language and imbue this knowledge on you. Yeah. So if we would have run into some of the Vex, which are the first alien race I encountered, which are like kind of fish men with beaks.
Sounds about right.
We would have been able to understand a lot more of them because I've probably got like 150 words of their vocabulary down, whereas some of the others, like the Daft Punk aliens or the crazy ape men we saw at the end, who I can't remember the name of, I don't really speak a lot of their lingo. So it's very difficult picking the multiple choice answer of choose your own adventure to try and get the good answer and increase my standing with that faction.
Lots to it. Yeah, it must have been a great, well, quite a daunting task to design a game like that, but a fantastic creative outlet for
definitely.
The developers.
I mean, it's impressive. I've never seen anything on this scale before. But the thing is, I'm waiting for the shoe to drop of what I really should be doing. I know, as they've said a lot in their build-up campaigns and in interviews and stuff, the goal is to get to the center of the universe. I don't know exactly why I'm going to the center of the universe, and that's not really been explained. I've seen
find the meaning of life.
Yeah, probably it's probably something that vague, but I want the narrative hook that isn't there. But instead of that, I've been creating my own. You know, like, when I've landed on planets, I'm like, okay, well, I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. And you kind of put yourself in this position where you're like, oh wow, I'm just gonna trek over this ridge. I wonder what's over here. I'm gonna go here. And you're almost like a character in a book in a weird way, to take it back to that analogy. You are just looking around. I joked on Twitter that my internal narrative while playing the game was I'm as a guy called Dave who was going out to get some milk and I crash landed and I'm trying to find my way back home, which is somewhere in the center of the universe. But you know, you can apply whatever to it you want.
That's actually really great that you're able to do that.
There's a lot of room to move around. It isn't something like The Witcher where you've got this huge open world and there's a lot of narrative going on, which is something I've previously said I've enjoyed. But it's kind of refreshing not to have a massive narrative. But
yeah,
I wish there was a bit,
so.
A little bit more hand-holding, but that this is not that kind of game. So I'm very interested to see where it goes, and all in all, I'm really impressed with it. A lot more than I thought perhaps I would have been. I was talking with people and they were like, well, yeah, you know, it's a collect-a-thon. You've got to go around, you've got to collect these things, and you've got to try and get further into the universe. And the first day I played it, I wasn't entirely sold. I built my warp drive, which is pretty much the tutorial of the game. For those of you listening and haven't bought it yet, if you do go out and buy a day one edition, it will come with a spaceship. Do not put in the code for that spaceship until you've built a warp drive, because otherwise you won't really have a clue what's going on, which is what I've heard from some people on the internet, is that they get lost because they are instantly upgraded to this better ship. But the better ship doesn't take into account that you don't know how to make anything yet.
So you got to wait a little while before you
use
that.
I would recommend
content.
It. But okay. Yeah, you know, I built this warp drive. I jumped around into a new galaxy and stuff, and I was like, okay, well, it doesn't seem like I'm getting that much closer to the center of this galaxy. It was something like 100 million light years or something like
there
that.
There is a place that you can look to see how close you are.
Yeah, and yeah. If you press down once you've got your warp drive, it'll kind of show you a star map almost, kind of like Mass Effect style, where you can look and go to other places. And it'll tell you how close you're getting, and you can just go free roam if you want and go to another star. But if you choose at the start, it gives you an option of, hey, do you want to follow the path of Atlas, which is this great omnipotent being that you don't really know about? Or you can ignore it and just find your own way.
Oh, okay, but right. So if you chose the other, then...
I would have no guidance. I would just be flying around space trying to find stuff.
Oh, so you have chosen the Atlas route.
I did, yeah. Because
and that's not just a free ticket to the center of the universe.
No. Not by any stretch of the imagination.
No. So this game isn't going to be finished up anytime soon.
People have beaten it. People have got to the center of the universe. People have just played hardcore and been able to get there. But
you don't know what they found there.
No, I don't. I haven't researched it. Because, I mean, getting there is not really the point for me. It's the exploration and
but they've
got to
give you some sort of point to say, you know, to give you something to work towards.
Yeah, of course. Mm. I mean, you need some purpose. Otherwise, it's just a giant sandbox. And, I mean, let's be honest, if that was the case, if I knew it was just a giant sandbox, I probably wouldn't have bought it. But I'm very surprised and very glad I did, because it's a very good game.
Yeah, it's important. It's an important game, isn't it? For video games in general, I think.
Definitely. I mean, something on this scale being released by a first-party publisher, I know it was developed by third-party Hello Games, but Sony have put their Sony Entertainment Presents on the front of it and obviously thrown a lot of money into marketing and promotion for this game.
It's nice. It's only saw the potential in it and I guess helped it take off, so to speak.
Yeah, and it's nice that there's a game of this scale on a console. I mean... We've had State of Decay on Xbox before, which is a zombie-focused game, kind of like this, but nothing so much focused on survival and just interaction with the environment and going around and exploring. And I think if you are a person who's kind of unsure about it, maybe play it as someone else's first. But I honestly thought it would not be the game for me. I didn't think I would enjoy it as much as I have.
Were you intrigued enough to pick it up?
I was. excuse me. Purely because I love me some spaceships.
Yeah.
This game has
some
very pretty
people.
Spaceships. Yeah. And I also, you know, like shooting things and I like gathering things because that's what a lot
you
of
do.
Is.
You gather Game Boy games.
I do. I gather them like you would not believe. I can't even think of a good metaphor, Tom. That's how ill I am. But all in all, No Man's Sky is a fucking fantastic game.
There you go, the Matt Ball seal of approval.
Yeah, boy! But I can't even think of what's coming out this year that will perhaps top this game in my mind for how pleasantly surprised I was with it and the potential I see in it.
Yeah, the game. I was going to say the games I'm excited about are coming up. I know exactly what I'm going to get, and that's like Worms and King of Fighters.
Yeah.
Are there any other games coming out this year that actually have the vision, the scope, the uniqueness of No Man's Sky? There's got to be something on the horizon. This year, hasn't there?
Not that I can think of, though. Nothing that's immediately coming to mind.
Horizon Zero Dawn.
No, that's next year. And so is Zelda, which would probably be the other game that I would be most anticipating this year.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I could get to the center and it could just keep being the same thing. Like, I wandered around on a planet trying to find all of the animals on the planet.
How long can you play it before you kind of tire of it is a good question. Do you?
I think it's endless. Like, I don't really get that bored with it because every planet is something new, which is kind of concerning because I've had to go into myself a few times. Okay, I need to put this down now. Like, I'm physically like,
You can pick and play for a little while and put down. It doesn't kind of force you to play, other than it being enjoyable, you to stay on the game.
And this is what I said to you earlier. I can't quite figure out if this is a game you would absolutely love because you can take it as your own pace.
Yeah.
Or you being you would just kind of get bored of it very easily and put it down. I don't know.
My impression of it is that I would enjoy it. I like the idea of exploring strange new worlds, new alien civilizations.
Yes, the boldly go where nowhere man's gone before. Yeah.
I am interested, although I'm not buying it at the moment because it is very expensive.
It is.
It's actually, when I was looking up the price, it would seem more expensive than your average new release.
Yes.
I get this impression, but then I looked at the other games that are coming soon, the pre-orders, and they're all around the same sort of price. We're talking around the £45 mark or slightly more. I remember when games usually came out for 40. Is this just happened recently?
Your big marquee releases tend to keep their value. I mean, look at Nintendo games, like... They tend to be around the £50 mark when they come out most places. Unless
40. I always thought like Star Fox came out at 40.
No Man's Sky, £46 currently on Amazon. Yeah. And the special edition is £89 on Amazon. Actually,
other games that are coming up are around the same sort of price to pre-order at least.
Last Guardian's £44 to pre-order. Yeah. I've already pre-ordered the nice limited edition with the big kitty dog statue.
Okay.
So I can't wait for that. Just looking now, and I've noticed that PlayStation VR is actually like £50 more expensive in Denmark than anywhere else. So that's
buying it.
Here. I pre-ordered it
in Denmark.
I kind of don't know if I'm going to buy it.
Put down a deposit or anything like that.
I did, but it was only like £2. Okay. So
you can get that refunded.
I haven't got the receipt for it, so I may have to let that go into the wind. I'm afraid it's only £2 though. It's fine. But yeah, No Man's Sky, very good. If you have been playing No Man's Sky, let me know what you think of it, either at TMAcast or at GameBoyle on the old Twitter, my bobs.
Please share with us your findings.
Exactly. What is the funniest thing you have found in No Man's Sky so far? What is the scariest thing you found? That dinosaur that hit me earlier was pretty hardcore with his beak. I made fun of his pack of beak, and then he hit me out of a tree and sent me flying. Yeah. What have you been playing, Tom Parry?
What have I been playing? Well, I picked up a few games recently, and I feel like this last week I've probably done more gaming than usual. I've actually come home from work in the evening and played a couple of games, which is quite unlike me.
Exactly, I was going to say.
Usually I save my gaming for the weekend, usually in the morning, Saturday, Sunday morning gaming. I have done a bit of that this last weekend at least. This week I've probably been playing Syndicate mostly. This would be the first-person shooter Syndicate.
Yes, not Assassin's Creed.
No, not that one. And not the old strategy-type game that I think is this game's heritage, at least.
Yes.
It's pretty good, actually, I'd say. It was very cheap. It cost me 20 kroner.
Ooh la la.
I know this game kind of came out and kind of just disappeared again.
It did,
quickly, and it became very cheap.
Remember,
very
it's got
quickly.
A red font on a black and white box.
A black and white image of a chap jumping.
That is all I know of this game.
So what I'll tell you about the game is, yes, it's a first-person shooter. It's got high production values for one.
Yeah.
EA certainly sunk a bit of money into this game. It's made by Starbreeze Studios, who did Chronicles of Riddick.
Yes.
And they did The Darkness as well. Both games have impressed me in the past, so I sort of knew going into this it would be of a reasonable standard. It mixes up the first-person shooter formula a little in the fact that it's set in the near future. People have cybernetic uplinks. You're like an assassin. You're tracking down certain people and stealing information out of their brains. You have the ability to influence people's brain chips and make them do things.
Okay.
So by holding down a button, you can make them kill themselves. But you need the energy to do that. Yeah, so once you've done that, you have to wait for it to recharge before you can do it again. You can do things like make their guns like misfire or blow back at them. I don't know quite the term. That's another one of the abilities.
Well,
they kind of throws them backwards and makes an explosion which affects the other people around them as well. So this strategy, you know, you have to try and do this on one person who's amongst a group of people and to get the most out of the move. There's this sort of like X-ray vision that you can turn on, which as well as being like, it's like heat seeking. So as well as you being able to more easily see your enemies, you're also powered up momentarily. So you become more powerful and more resistant to attacks, but it only lasts for a short time.
Okay.
So you have to kind of balance how you use that. So you've got that going on in tandem with your special abilities, your sort of the kind of psychic abilities, but not. And some really nice weapons as well. It, to me, atmospherically, it feels a lot like Perfect Dark.
Okay.
And some of the weapons feel like Perfect Dark weapons. And yeah, for me, it's got that same appeal that game has. Your character's very fast. The movement's very fluid.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of the most interesting, well-made first-person shooters of that generation, I think.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of first-person shooters that came out, though, because it was such a wave of them. I think a lot of them kind of got left behind, like Singularity and stuff has got some interesting
things going on. Singularity, you get a game I also played, yeah. And The Darkness also with a very unique story-driven first-person shooter, which has a few unique mechanisms as well, yeah. So, yeah, I'll give that a thumbs up. It's incredibly cheap. If you've looked at it and thought, oh, what's that? That's bleh.
It's worth
it's
quid.
Actually, it's a good game. Another game which is interesting will be Spec Ops The Line, which I picked up as well. This is a Spec Ops game, of course. I mean, the series is long running. This one, it feels like Gears of War. It's a squad-based thing, third person. Cover
what consoles is on 360 as well?
PS3. Both these games I'm playing on PS3. They're available on 360 as well. Its production value isn't quite high as Syndicate. It's a little rough around the edges. But the gameplay itself, the controls, very solid. But if you like Gears of War, it's incredibly similar. Even to the way you throw grenades, you know.
Yeah.
How you get that little marker up on screen. And
so. I've not played a Spec Ops game since the PS1.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what that was like.
Yeah, I've never played a Spec Ops game, so I can't actually compare this to the previous games.
Okay.
But it's very affordable, again, and rather good. I'll give it a go. If you get past the kind of rough around the edges graphics, there's a lot to appreciate in the game. Also, the storyline's pretty good, and the characters are quite fleshed out. It's sort of like Gears. They talk to you, and you kind of get an idea of...
Yeah.
There's three of you, and... also, there's the environment plays a big part. You're in Dubai in the desert, and the sand, sandstorms. Use sandstorms for cover, and you can pour sand. If it's like a lot of sand, you can shoot it, and it can fall on the enemies. And
interesting.
Yeah,
does sand obey bullets?
Well, there was an instance where there was sand in like a bus. And if I broke the windows on the bus, the sand would pour out of the bus on top of the enemies. Good game. Also a good game that I'm playing is Fuel.
Fuel?
Have you heard of Fuel? It's like an open-world off-road racer.
Yes.
It's, again, on the Xbox and the PS3. It's very good. It's not quite Burnout Paradise because it's not... Yeah, it's... The open-world area is... You go around and get different camps on this open world. When you get to that camp, then there's a series of races you can do. So that's the exploration. You have to find the camp in the open world in order to do the next batch of races.
Who made Fuel?
Codemasters published Fuel.
Yeah.
I can't remember the developer.
Okay.
It's not... I don't think it's a very prolific developer at all.
Yeah.
But it's a good game. It's a good game, and again, it's another affordable game. There's a lot of these games of the 360 PS3 generation that are really quite good and maybe get overlooked sometimes.
Well, they're just coming down in price now, right?
And now, now's a great time to pick up these games. But you may look at something like Fuel and think, that looks incredibly generic. Why should I bother? It didn't get promoted in the same way some other games did, but it's actually very good and certainly worth your time.
That's interesting. Tell you what's better than cheap, though, Tom.
Mm.
Free.
Oh, yes. That's quite right. And I'll agree.
Free games galore. There have been on PlayStation Plus this month.
Oh, have there? I've not played any of them.
They have. Well, I've downloaded
you did recommend
Yakuza,
one
but I've been playing some Tricky Towers.
Oh, is that Yakuza 5?
Yes, on the PlayStation 3.
Free?
For free.
Flipping heck. Are those people who spent God knows how much
£30
on that game?
I almost did, but I wanted a physical copy. And then
I think when it came out, wasn't it even more
maybe
pricey?
Yeah, perhaps. I need to get into that. I need to play the Yakuza games. I really want to play the first
batteries
two.
Die.
Oh, no.
Shame. My list of things I was going to talk about has just disappeared.
This is what you get for reading articles while I'm trying to show you the wonders of No Man's Sky.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm joking. Tricky Towers, though. Good
Tricky
game.
Tricky Towers.
Uses tetrominoes,
What did you say?
Tetrominoes.
Who's
is that
he?
The word?
Tetraminos?
Tetrominos. I don't know.
Tetris-like shapes.
Tetris-like shapes. Thank you very much. There we go. That'll solve the confusion.
Yeah.
Uses Tetris-like shapes, you know. Everyone's favourite square, line, the L. All your favourites. They're all there. Yeah.
Hey, guys.
And it uses them in a puzzle game dynamic. And now, of course, you will go, yeah, but so does Tetris. Mm. No, Tom, because Tricky Towers is actually physics-based. So, depending on where you drop your Tetris-like shapes, they will fall. And for example, say you were to balance a cube on an L shape. So you know you've got your three with a little dimple coming up, and you dropped a cube on the end on the little dimple. It would fall over, which would mean that those Tetris-like shapes were not straight anymore. Which means if you were to drop something else on that the physics of that would come into effect.
Well, that makes it more difficult, I imagine.
Yes. It does, but your goal is not the same as Tetris.
No.
It is not to create lines and they disappear.
No.
You are creating towers for the most part. There is a battle mode and a single-player campaign, but I've been mainly playing the single-player. Mm. And essentially it is, hey, you need to either build up to a line, so you need to bear in mind all of these things with the physics, and like obviously you will get drops and go, oh God, well, I need to balance this Tetris-like shape on the end, and then put these other ones up, but you're also racing against the clock, so you're trying to do it very fast. There is also modes where you have a line drawn and you can't go above it, so you need to look at the area you have and go, okay, how can I fit all of these Tetris pieces into here? And then there's also a third mode I've encountered, which is essentially you have this big swirl of visible Tetris pieces that a guy will throw at you, and you've got to accommodate them all without letting them drop off the edge. Because in the tower mode, you can leave things go. So if you really like, I can't use this piece, I need to get rid of this, you can literally drop it off the edge if you want, because it's a race. Uh-huh. It'll penalize you for it, but you can get rid of it.
Yeah.
In the mode with the line, or the mode where you've got all of these set pieces you need to use in a tower, you can't do that. This would be quite challenging enough as the game goes on, except you and the other person you're competing against, the computer player or the person, has magic.
Oh.
This can do a variety of things. Example, the character I tend to play as in this game has magic that makes the blocks into concrete, and so wherever they land, they stay, so you can kind of get away without like abusing the physics system and go, oh crap, well, I've got a straight line coming up, I need to sort this out so I can drop this and it'll stay as concrete. There was one where they were making the blocks huge, and so obviously if you've built a very small platform and then you suddenly get this thing that's four times the size of every other Tetris piece you have, it's like, oh shit, where do I do this? It's kind of mucking up my plans, especially if you've gone with a very thin tower, so you've got to compensate for that. And also, there was one instance where I ran into someone using forestry, which meant that all of the top of my Tetris towers grew into fauna, which meant that then anything I put would be off balance because it's landing on all these trees.
Oh my lord.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
It's a very challenging game, but very, very fun and rewarding.
Yeah, it all works together very well.
It does.
Well, yeah.
Works perfectly, in fact. I wouldn't go so far as to say it's perhaps better than Tetris Battle Gaiden on the Super Nintendo, or Super Famicom, as it were. But
I've never heard of Tetris Battle Gaiden.
Is it
a two-player Tetris game?
It's a two-player Tetris game. Me and you, Tom Parry, I will have to bring it back from Wales. It's a very good game.
I'm interested.
But it's just as well. I mean, you know, they haven't got the Tetris license, obviously, so they couldn't do that. Mm. But this is a very good game.
Okay. And it's absolutely free for PlayStation Plus
subscribers. It is. I believe it's about the £10 mark for those of you who haven't got PlayStation Plus. But I mean, if you've got a PS4, chances are you do. So I would say download it. If you don't have PlayStation Plus, I would also say it's probably worth getting anyway if puzzle games are your thing. Mm-hmm. There was also another game on PlayStation Plus where you're a space trucker that I can't remember the name of because I'm ill. That I want to play Rogue something or other, not Galaxy. Or is it Rogue Galaxy?
No, that's an RPG.
Rogue Galaxy is an RPG. It's Rogue something or other. Anyways, that looks good as well. That's also on PlayStation Plus, and I will be playing
that. So you don't need to buy games at all. PlayStation Plus.
there have been a few games released this week that I did want to buy, but I didn't end up getting. Overcooked,
I've seen chef some gameplay of
game.
That looks stressful.
I watched a quick look and it on Unprofessional Fridays on Giant Bomb, and it looks absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I can love to play the game cooperatively. I think that's where it will shine.
I want to get another controller and then we can start having four-player co-op parties at mine where we can play stuff like that.
Oh, maybe I'll just get another controller. Yes. And then you don't have to.
That'll work, Tom. That'll work.
Because I still only have one PS4 controller.
How did you manage that all this time?
Yeah, well, I don't have many people over playing PS4. Whenever I play multiplayer, I'm playing it with you and we're usually here. So
that's true. And when I wasn't, I lived there. So
yes, it would be nice to offer my guests some PS4 gaming.
Yes, on a tray with some mints. Yeah, maybe a biscuit.
Usually stick to PS3.
PlayStation 4, Battenberg.
Yes, I have been feeling though lately like I'd like to get more multiplayer gaming out of my PS4.
Yes.
I've been doing a bit online and playing a fair amount of Star Wars Battlefront recently, and I found a mode that I really enjoy called Cargo, which is the Capture the Flag mode. I don't know if you've played much of that.
I know your time
with Battlefront was brief.
Yes, my time with Battlefront was lasted as long as it took me to get to like level 10, and I thought, fuck this, and kept it on a shelf.
I'll admit the game is incredibly shallow and at times feels very random and unfair.
It's a shame.
But there are modes like Cargo, which are very solid, very enjoyable. And it's the fact... I think Battlefront's so good because it's Star Wars and because of the attention to detail and some of the game modes are very fair and very enjoyable, where others are not. I can understand why it is difficult for the Rebels to take down an AT-AT.
Yes.
An AT-AT, should I say. But does it have to be that difficult?
Yeah.
If you end up on the Rebels team, it is nearly impossible to take one of them things down.
I will ask you the question that I often ask most people who play Battlefront. I've probably asked you this very question on this podcast.
Oh, go on.
If you were to take out a handkerchief and you were to lick the handkerchief, what? I would never phrase this question in this way. If you were to take a handkerchief out of your top breast pocket like the gentleman you are, wet it with your tongue and then smudge away the little bit of Star Wars that's on Battlefront, would it be a good game?
Would it be a good game? Yeah, I mean, a big part of it is the Star Wars factor, though. But if it was replaced by something equally as appealing, which is difficult, I'll admit, I think there is some good game modes in there. And it does have a variety of game modes, especially if you fork out the extra cash for the season pass.
Yeah,
which is another sore point of this game.
Yeah, paid for the game twice. You can get Lando.
Well, he's there even if you haven't bought the season pass.
Yeah, okay.
It's more so some of the new game modes and levels, which... Because I can't play these with Gareth, my friend, who I usually play. Yeah. As everyone who listens to this podcast knows, I've mentioned my
good
friend
Gareth
before.
Good friend Austin.
But he can't play these modes. But we can still play as Lando and Ninum and... Why not Chewie? I don't know. I expect he's going to be appearing at some point.
Probably.
Chewbacca is not a playable character yet.
Even
Lando
in the
is.
Sequel...
Ah, yeah. They've got to put something in the sequel, haven't they? But it's a game I both love and hate, but in particular modes, I love it. And I have to say I enjoyed my time with it this last week.
Fair enough. Speaking of multiplayer things, and, well, multiplayer in real life, actually. Aww. Do you know there's a thing called the Olympics going on right now?
Mm.
Where people are...
I am aware.
...competing for medals they're doing things like shot putting and javelin and
javelin.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're throwing a javelin.
They're javelining. Yeah,
and you know, other things such as marksmanship and rugby sevens and gymnastics. Mm. But actually, Overwatch is getting in on the swing of things.
Oh, and yeah, of
course. Doing some summer games.
You've been playing Overwatch?
I played a little bit of Overwatch on Tuesday. I was supposed to play with Jakob, my good friend.
He has it now.
Every day. He's always had it. Several times on Overwatch. Oh. I've actually managed to get him off Battlefield, which is making Tuesday night something to enjoy again.
He's still very much looking forward to Battlefield 1.
Yes. And I will probably not buy it.
Oh, we'll that won't. See. He'll be upset.
He will. We'll see. what was I going to say? I don't know.
You're going to say Overwatch.
Yeah. Battlefield 1 looks all right. I might buy it. I'm waiting for reviews because if that game is as broken a mess as Battlefield 4 was when it came out, then I won't buy it. But Overwatch in their summer games, because they can't call it the Olympics because they ain't got the license, belongs to Mario and Sonic. They have their summer games in which Fun and Frivolity is the name of the game, and you can get exclusive bits of kit. So Tracer will be in a TGB bit.
You play volleyball?
No, Tom. You play Lucio Ball, because Lucio is a character from Brazil.
Uh-huh.
And it's Rocket League in first person.
Oh.
Blatant. Like, hey, this is Rocket League. And it kind of made me appreciate Rocket League a whole lot more, because it's not very good.
What's this?
I ran around as a cat attacking your foot.
I thought you were stroking my leg.
He's a big fan of Lucio Ball. Yeah. And he wants his voice heard. No, it's essentially his first person Rocket League. So instead of being in a car and going around and jumping and doing all this stuff, you're doing that as a person. Obviously, you can punch the ball or you can shoot the ball with your gun and make it go. Lucio, because he is a healer, he has the ability to draw people near him to either hurt or heal, so you can pull the ball towards you with his special ability, or you can move faster, which is his R1 trigger, so you can have your team at an advantage charge if you're all playing in perpetuity and you're all together and you're all like, hey, cool, well, I'll hit my trigger now, you hit your trigger. It could be a good team-based activity, right?
Yeah.
Except it's not anywhere near as fucking polished as Rocket League, so you will hit the ball and then it'll just bounce because physics.
It's in addition to a very solid main game, isn't
it? Yeah, but it's not very fun. I like Rocket League. I've talked about it on this podcast. I'm not the biggest fan of it. I'm not one of these people who played it for hours upon hours. There's a cat on my foot now.
Mm.
And, you know, I kind of wanted to go back and play a bit of it because not only did I quite enjoy Rocket League at the time, but this made me appreciate the good things about it more.
Okay.
The fact that there is physics, the fact there is strategy, the fact that it is so tightly tuned, you can go, okay, I'm going to hit the ball, you go over there by the goal, and we'll go over there and do this. Whereas this is just kind of a load of randoms going, oh, I'm going to punch a ball. Oh, actually, it went in. That's lucky.
But it's meant to get you into the Olympic spirit.
Yeah, but it doesn't really do that more than the regular team.
So they shouldn't have bothered.
Well, you know, good on them for trying. I just wish it was a bit more polished.
Oh, well, I'll just go and play the main game.
Exactly, because that's good.
Or Rocket League.
And you should buy it.
Nah.
Better than Star
Wars.
I've
got so many first-person shooters at the moment. I've got Doom to play. It's sitting there waiting for me.
I'm going to get my Oprah voice back out and go, it's better than Star Wars. and you could play with us. Imagine that. Fancy that, Tom. Two game nights.
Oh, cool. My. I don't know if I could handle it.
I know. But, yeah, it's all right. It made me appreciate Rocket League a whole lot more. Mm. And general Overwatch is good, so we'll forgive it.
Yeah. Well, when I find it cheaper, maybe I'll buy it. When I completed a few more of this long list of games I seem to be gathering. A game I did pick up, I picked up a few digital downloads recently.
Digital downloads?
One being the very underwhelming Super Toy Cars. I don't know if I mentioned that.
You
before.
Did, yeah.
Did I say that last time?
You mentioned that you picked it up. You did not play it, I don't think. Yeah?
I don't know if I mentioned a podcast. I might have mentioned...
You may have mentioned it to me in real life, but just in
it's
case.
It's a poor man's TTR, tabletop racing.
Okay.
Which was a free PlayStation Plus game not so long ago. It's a very good sort of Mario Kart / Micro Machines thing. Yeah. Where Super Toy Cars feels like it's trying to be that. It's just not as well made as
top
that.
Top down or...?
No, it's the same as TTR. It's from behind, like Mario Kart. Yeah. But it's got that aesthetic of being miniature cars.
Yes.
in there. A lot like...
Is this the one where you're racing as, like, giraffes and stuff?
No.
There's a very surreal, like...
It's not that.
...purposely terrible racing game out on Steam at the moment, and I thought it was out on
Giraffe
PlayStation.
Giraffe Racer 5000.
Something along those lines. Yeah, I'll find it and send you a link. You'll get a giggle.
Yeah. This game is cheap and has a very generic title, and it does not scream out quality, and I can confirm it's okay.
Ooh.
It's just when you put it up against the alternatives, you shouldn't really bother.
Oh, nothing back, Tom Parry. Oh, it's okay. Oh!
I mean, it's not terrible. I won't say it's total crap.
Yeah.
Because that's be harsh on the effort that has been put into the game. It's just...
It's true.
There are better realizations of that formula out there.
Okay.
So,
fair enough.
Don't buy that, but buy Lumo, which is a great little
isometric throwback.
Throwback is a term which has really become very popular.
Yes.
Just lately, hasn't it?
Yes.
But it's not Tuesday, it's not Thursday, it's Saturday, and I'm not using the term throwback.
Why not?
It's... Pays homage to the classic isometric puzzle games of the Spectrum era. In fact, the game starts off like that.
Yes.
And then you throw into the room after room of little puzzles and exploration and puzzles. And it's all very cute. It's all very appealing visually.
From what I've seen, it has a very British aesthetic to it.
I'd say yes. Just Add Water worked on the game. But it was devised by one man.
Yes.
So, again, a lot like games of yesteryear. And it's very good, and I'd recommend it. And I'd recommend playing on a PS4, because first I was playing on a Vita, and it's very small. It's not a game which is... Because everything sort of fits into a...
Isometric.
4x3 sort of box.
Yeah.
And so when you play it on the Vita, the actual...
That area is shrunken down.
It does feel small, and you miss
That's
out.
A shame.
On a lot. You can play it, it's fine, but you actually pick up a bit more detail playing it on the television. But you know what it reminded me? It reminded me of the same kind of enjoyment I get out of playing Skylanders. It's not particularly complicated, what would you call it? Doesn't challenge you too much.
okay.
But it's got a good balance.
You're collecting rubber ducks from what I've seen,
right?
You
can collect rubber ducks, but I can't get them yet because whenever I try and get a rubber duck, I die because they're always floating around in some sort of dangerous water.
You do realise if you collect the rubber duck and die, you still get the rubber duck?
Oh.
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Thank you for telling me that.
See, I haven't even played the game and I know these things.
But there's block-pushing puzzles, there's logic-based puzzles which are satisfying, but so far at least not too taxing. And that reminds me of playing Skylanders, although those block puzzles are not very difficult, at least.
Some would say infuriating.
Would you say? Have you got up to stage in like Swap Force with difficult block puzzles?
Some of them can be a bit of a pain. Just because there's so many enemies and stuff running at you.
Okay,
at the same time.
I would say with Giants, which is one I play a lot. Later block puzzles can get a little bit more complex, but I love a good block puzzle.
Oh,
I don't know what it is about pushing blocks
block
around,
puzzle.
But it does appeal to me. Not too taxing. No. So go pick that one up. It's great.
Cool. I have some happy news. Remember, I mentioned on the podcast that the local game shop in Swansea had. Unfortunately had a massive fire.
I do remember.
Console Action is back open again. Woo! Yay! So I went there and I bought some Game Boy games when I was home at the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. That's why there was no podcast. Yeah,
there was
last
not.
Week because you were in Wales.
I got a nice boxed copy of Metroid 2 Return of Samus.
Okay.
Which, you know, is a classic game. You don't like it? What's wrong with it? It's a good fucking game.
Well, I've only played it a little bit, but I'm much more enjoyed the Game Boy Advance Zero mission.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
you
like
know,
that one.
In its defense, the Game Boy Advance, a little bit more powerful of a console than the original Game Boy.
I guess I just don't like Game Boy games, Matt.
Oh, what? Oh, choking in rage.
Well, I have a very small Game Boy collection. I never really feel that compelled to buy Game Boy, original Game Boy games, at least.
Then you're a fool. No, I kid. Each to his own. But I've been looking for a box copy of this for a long, long time. So I picked it up while it was there. I was like, ooh. I also picked up some other Black Car titles that I haven't had.
Well, How much does a box copy of Metro 2 cost?
On eBay or on the Amazons or most retro gaming stores I've ever seen it in, about 100 quid.
No.
I paid 30 for it, so I'm pretty happy
30
with that.
Quid's okay. I recently went out of my way to buy a box game for 30 quid.
Yeah, what was that?
I finally bought Lemmings for the NES.
Oh,
boxed.
Nice.
So now I have an unboxed and a box copy. But
cool. One to play, one to keep.
Yeah, I guess. Not that the NES version of Lemmings is
particularly good.
No,
but, no, but hey, sorry. You know.
Yeah, the box.
That box art, Tom. Oh, cool. No, I went to a place in Cardiff that I frequent a lot called Super Tomato as well. And they had Boomer's Adventures in Azmuck World boxed.
Wow, that's a great title.
It is. It's a little purple dinosaur, and it's a maze game, kind of like Hanayukai Alien or Booby Boys, where you're going
never
around and you're burying things, collecting keys, and then leaving.
Ah, Booby Boys.
Booby Boys!
Booby Boys.
Booby Kids. but it's kind of got that appeal. And I really, really liked the box of it, and I really wanted the manual, and they had it boxed, and Tom, the guy who owns the shop, was just kind of like, look, I would love to sell this to you, but you already have the game. Do you really need the box? And I was like, no, actually, I don't. And just as luck would have it, he had a spare manual that I bought instead, which saved me the money. But for certain games, as you know, I've made exceptions. I got this copy of Metroid 2, which is very nice. And yeah, like I said, I also picked up some black carts in that shop as well. But they were mostly things like Madden and Tiger Woods, just because they were the £2 mark. And I was like, well, I'm only missing a handful of black carts now to
really?
Get my black cart collection. So,
the black cart collection.
The black cart collection. For those of you who don't know, black carts are Game Boy colour games that also work on the original Game Boy, unlike the see-through ones, which only work on the Game Boy colour. Yes, so they've got nice palettes and stuff when you put them into the Game Boy colour, but they also work on the original Game Boy.
Yes. Nice.
Yeah. So I picked those up, but honestly, I haven't really played them because there was nothing really of note there that grabbed my attention. I did pick up a copy of Buster Move 4, which I did have a little play on the plane of, but I mean, it's Buster Move. Everyone knows what that is, so I won't get into
I know
that.
What it is.
It's good. It's a very good port of Buster Move, better than 2 and 3, which are on the original Game Boy.
I did pick up something that might be worth mentioning. I got one of the Hori Mini 64 pads.
Oh, really?
Have you seen them?
Yes.
They're quite expensive.
Yeah.
With shipping, I think it cost me, go on, have a guess.
50?
Yeah.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. 50.
50 quid?
Yeah.
God blimey.
Yeah. With shipping?
With shipping.
Okay, from so
you
Japan.
Paid about, you paid about 35 quid for it then, did you? Or?
Well, 40, I think. Yeah. Don't look it up and tell me there's one cheaper. But yeah, when I was looking at the Bike Now prices, they were a little bit higher than, you know, they were like 50 with and then posted on top of that, at least. But yes, I think from what I've gathered, this will be very, very nice controller to play N64 games with.
Yeah.
This analog stick it's got is very appealing because it seems to be very similar to the GameCube stick.
Yes, it does.
And I'm very curious about giving this thing a go, hence why I blew the money on it.
What colour did you get?
Pink.
Because I thought it came in multiple colours.
The reddish pink.
I always wanted a gold one. They used to have one. There was a store in Neath and Swansea called Electronics Boutique.
Yeah, that thing.
I remember them having this, and really? I wanted a gold one, and it was very expensive back in the day because it was hoary, obviously.
Yeah.
So I didn't end up buying it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an interesting looking
stick. So I may
stick.
Not have bought a new PS4 controller, but I decided to buy a new N64 controller.
Yeah, exactly. Good waste. well, good use of money. Sorry, Freudian slip there, Tom.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know. Some crazy people might tell you that the N64 controller is the best controller ever conceived. I would challenge them to go back and use it now.
I've always liked it. I know I hear this a lot, that people don't like the N64 controller, but
it's not that I don't like it. I just don't think it is the greatest controller of all time that some people proclaim it
to be. Yeah, I've always quite liked using it, but I can see some of the advantages of this controller, and Now, no longer will people have to groan when they come over my place and they have to use the terrible third-party controller if they happen to be Player 4.
Yes.
No, they can use the maybe even better controller.
Yes.
So that's quite...
Unless you nab it for yourself and then you make everyone else use official ones because you realise, hey, this is actually better.
And that's still all right.
Exactly. You got your special controller. No, I've been actually in the market for a new GameCube controller, as you well know, and I finally, finally have one.
You got a Wavebird?
No, I didn't, Tom. Oh. I paid more than your fucking Wavebird as well for a silver one. And annoyingly, the D-pad's also fucked on that, so I need to find another controller.
Sorry to hear that. That's it.
Yeah, I bought it in CEX. I tried it out at the counter, and the D-pad seemed like it had... some life left in it, because obviously people buy them, they play Smash with it for years, then trade the controllers in.
I love my Wavebird.
Yeah, but it's really nice. Hope you choke on it. No, but I'm going to go out and hopefully I'm going to Gamescom for the entirety of next week. So
all week? It's an all-week event.
From Tuesday till Friday, I will be in Cologne, Germany. So if there are any listeners to the podcast there, please let me know. It'd be very nice to meet up with you. But I'm hoping that there will be some kind of shop that sells things there where I can buy a new GameCube controller, because unfortunately this one's not very good.
Okay.
Better than mine, it'll do for now, but because I was playing through Wario Land, as those of you who subscribe to the YouTube channel will know, and that was an absolute nightmare because I kept dying because the right, i.e. forward for most Game Boy games, doesn't respond as well as it should.
Okay.
So trying to duck or trying to go up from going forward, generally a bit of a nightmare. And it's generally costing me about an extra hour or two every time I record a game.
Don't make me feel guilty for snatching that Wavebird controller.
It was a good price. I can't blame you. Never mind. It's water under the bridge, Tom. It's all right. But yeah, other than that, I haven't really been picking up anything else. As I said, got No Man's Sky. That's probably my only game purchase this month because it's a very long game. So we'll see.
Well done. I pick up things here and there, you know me.
Well, like, I would pick up things here and there, but I haven't actually seen anything I would like to pick up. So that's kind of the thing. But, yeah, maybe there's something out in the next month or so I haven't realised, and then I'll pick that up. But for the moment, I'm quite...
Content.
Content, yes.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's good.
Yes.
I'm glad.
Anything else? Any more for any more?
Well, maybe there was, but now my device has given up. I can't remember.
Now your list has perished.
I think I covered most things that I've intended this week.
So. Well, at the 50-minute mark, Tom Parry, let's
wrap her up. A little bit less than our usual running time.
Well, no, probably about on time by the time we do this ramble at the end, but it's okay. If you have liked this podcast, please be sure to share it around with other people you think may like this podcast, because... that's always good to know that there's people listening, and it would be nice to know that people are. So if you have any No Man's Sky related things, of, as I said, the weirdest things you've seen and the coolest things you've seen, please send them to us at TMAcast or to me at Game Boyle, where I am sharing my own such discoveries. I found a little shelled creature that looked like a poo, and I called it a floater because it was in water. I'll show you that later.
Oh, how
many laughs will be had.
Yeah. Very clever, Matthew.
Yeah, I know. Well, thank you. I am wit incarnate, obviously. I blame the man flu. Apologies. But if you do think anyone would be interested in this podcast, please share it around. I may actually be taking this podcast rig with me next week to Gamescom, as previously mentioned. So I may try and squeeze in a few little Tom and Matt short interviews. I don't know. There are an abundance of people there, so I'll see.
Why
what
not?
Happens.
If you can. Yeah.
But that's not a promise. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I apologize in advance. But if you have liked the podcast and are like, well, where can I get some more of this Tom and Matt goodness? You can do so on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TomandMattAttack. You can also find us on Twitter, as previously mentioned, at TMAcast. And you can listen to the podcast in a variety of places, such as TomandMattAttack.com/podcast. Don't know why I went from Yorkshire. Blastprocess.com, as well as on iTunes and Stitcher. If you're in iTunes, subsequently, why not give us a cheeky rate and subscribe? Because that's how more people get to know about the podcast, even if you don't know them. Okay, cool.
I did it, Matthew. You got through it.
Going to go collapse into a pile because that was actually very exhausting. But yeah, okay, cool. Next week we will be back with a regularly scheduled podcast.
I look forward to it. Hear your Gamescom news.
Yes, hopefully I will have fought through all of the children's and played all of the Zeldas, but we will see. We will see. Okay, cool. Yeah. That wraps it up. Until next week, everybody. Yep. Game on.
Game on.